travel many moonless nights, cold and weary with a babe inside, and I wonder what I've done. Holy Father, you have come and chosen a silent prayer. I am frightened by the load I bear in a world as cold as stone. Must I walk this path alone? Be with me now. As you watch my face, if a wiser one should have had my place, but I offer all I am for the mercy of your plan.
Did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy Mary, did you know that your baby boy gives sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy could calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Oh Mary, did you know? Deaf will hear, the dead will live again, the lame will lead, the dumb will speak, the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb, and the sleeping child you're holding is the great Did you know?
She changes stuff all the time.
The scripture for this evening is in Luke chapter 1. Verses 46 through 54, Luke 1, 46 through 54. And if you follow along, I'm going to use my own translation for this, just to draw some things out of the original that we're going to talk about in the sermon here briefly. Luke 1, 46 through 54. And Mary said, "My soul makes great the Lord, and my spirit rejoices upon God, my Savior, because he has looked upon the humility of his slave woman. Behold, all generations shall call me blessed, because he did great things for me, the powerful one, and holy is his name. And his mercy is upon generation after generation to those who fear him. He did mighty deeds with his arm, scattering those who are proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He brought down the rulers, and he brought up the humble. The hungering he filled with good things. Those being rich, he sent away empty. He helped Israel, his serving boy, remembering mercy, just as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham in his seed forever. As we contemplate the text of Mary's beautiful Magnificat, her song, her psalm, why don't we celebrate communion as we consider those words before we move to the sermon? On the night he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body broken for you." And when supper was ended, he took the cup and he said, "Take this, all of you, and drink it. This is my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It shall be shed for you and for all, so that sins may be forgiven. Do this in memory of me." It's important that we celebrate communion here on Christmas Eve, at our Christmas Eve service, because, of course, Christmas Eve would be a meaningless holiday without Easter. Christmas Eve would be a very sad and somber holiday if it were not for Easter. If the boy born in Bethlehem did not come and be the crucified at Calvary, Christmas would be a meaningless holiday. But of course, it is not a meaningless holiday. It is a very meaningful holiday. It is a very wonderful holiday, and it is something that we celebrate. It is a holiday in the truest sense of the word. It is a holy day. It is a holy day. It is a day when the Holy One came to earth, when the Holy Creator of the earth came and took on flesh and became one with us. He became Emmanuel, God with us. And that is what we remember. That is why we are celebrating. We are celebrating this holiday. We are celebrating this day. We are here tonight in this beautiful sanctuary singing songs and celebrating communion because the boy born here would go and die there. And we look at the words of Mary. We look at the words, this psalm that she spoke when the Holy Spirit came upon her, and we read, and they are wonderful, wonderful words. Mary said, "My soul makes great the Lord. My soul magnifies the Lord. My soul makes big the Lord." The word is megaluno, is the verb, megaluno, and it means to make something mega, to make it huge, to make it great, to make it gigantic, to make it extra special, wonderful. It makes a big deal of God, and it harkens back, of course, to the Old Testament use of the word word great, this idea that God is big, but God is great, and God is wonderful. And her soul, she says, "My soul makes great the Lord, and my spirit rejoices upon God, my Savior." Her rejoicing is directed towards God, but not simply God, but God, my Savior. Here in this Magnificat, here in this wonderful Psalm of Mary, she recognizes that the birth of Jesus will redound to the salvation of herself, the salvation of her people, the salvation of Israel, and the salvation of the world, because God is her Savior. God is her Savior. And then she, in verse 48, she tells us why. Why is she rejoicing? Why is she making great the Lord? And she tells us very plainly, because he has looked upon the humility of his slave woman. That word can also be translated the humiliation, the lowly state, this downcast place that this slave woman is in. And you say, well, Mary, how were you downcast? Yes, Mary was a poor girl. Yes, Mary and her people were oppressed by the Herods. They were oppressed by the religious rulers. They were oppressed by the Romans. But Mary is also humble. Mary is also downcast. Mary is also lowly for the same reason that she needs a Savior, because of sin. Because all who are born in Adam will die in Adam, because she is a sinner. And the judgment of God stands upon her. The judgment of Moses stands upon her. And God looks upon her humility. He looks upon the humility of his slave woman. And he cares. He cares. And she says, "Behold, all generations shall call me blessed." Every generation henceforth has looked at Mary and said, yes, this young girl, this young girl from Nazareth, she is blessed. She was blessed to carry the God-man in her womb. She was blessed to be the mother of Christ. She is a blessed woman, and all generations call her blessed. And we begin to see the beauty of this poem because she says, because he did great things for me. So we see this repetition. The word is megalos. So she megalune, she makes great the Lord because he did megala, because he did big things for me. I make big the Lord because he did big things for me. The powerful one has done great things for her. What is the great thing that he did? Well, first of all, he made the virgin conceive. That's a pretty great thing. That's a pretty amazing thing. That's a pretty powerful thing. But also, she was chosen, to be the mother of God, to be the carrier of Christ. It was a great thing that was done for her. And more than that, the child that she bore was her Savior. The Savior of the world. It is a great thing that God came into the world, that Jesus came into the world, that he was God with us. Like we talked about on Sunday, who would be the Lamb of God who would take away the sin of the world, that the servant would suffer, that he would bear the people's sins on his back. That is a great thing that he has done. And holy is his name, she says. Holy is his name. And his mercy is upon generation after generation of those who fear him. Already she's repeated this word generation. The generations will call her blessed. And from generation to generation, those who fear him receive his mercy. Those who fear him don't receive his punishment. Those who fear him don't receive cruelty. Those who fear him don't receive the awful things that are in store for people who fear others in this world. In this world, what do we fear? We fear tyrannical governments. We fear burglars. We fear people breaking into our homes. We fear economic distress, and those things are out to hurt us. But with God, those who fear him receive his mercy. The people we fear in this world are never going to show you mercy. The people we fear in this world are never going to show you kindness. But God, the powerful one, he shows mercy to generation after generation of those who fear him. And he did mighty deeds with his arm. Mighty deeds with his arm, scattering those who are proud in the thoughts of their hearts. Mary reminds us about the humility that she has, the humble position, the humiliated position of those who God does great things for. But God scatters those who are proud. God scatters those. God gives nothing good to those who don't fear him, those who are not lowly, those who don't receive mercy, or those who are proud. Because God opposes the proud, because the proud don't worship God, because the proud can only worship themselves. And he's done mighty things with his arm, and he has brought down the rulers, and he brought up the humble. This word rulers is a beautiful pun. When it talks about God, the powerful one who did great things, the powerful one, the word is dunatos. The dunatos one is who God is. And God, the dunatos one, brings down the dunates, the dunastes. The dunatos brings down the dunastes. The powerful one brings down the rulers. Those who sit on thrones. Those who believe that they are powerful. Those who believe that they by right rule the world, and they can oppress and they can take power and they can demand everything that they want. But he brings them down off of their thrones. The dunatos, the powerful one, brings down the dunastes, the rulers, and yet he brings up the humble. He exalts the humble. It's the same word as the humility of the servant. Those who are humble, those who are downcast, those who are lowly, God brings them up. He brings them up. He shatters and scatters those who are proud, but he lifts those who are humble up from the ash heap. The hungering. The hungering. We're not even in the past tense here. Those who are currently hungering, the hungering he had filled with good things. He filled them with good things, the hungering ones, the poor, those who lack. He fills them with good things. But those being rich, he sent away empty. And we look at this world and we say that that's not how it looks right now, Luke. It doesn't look very much like the hungering are filled with good things, and it doesn't look very much like those who are rich are being sent away empty. It looks like the rich get richer, the poor get poorer. And it looks like that everybody is seeking to make it so that the rich only keep getting richer and the poor only keep getting poorer. It does look like that because that is what's happening in this world. In this world, those who are the rulers, the dunastes, the earthly rulers who sit on their earthly thrones, that's what they want. They want the rich to get richer, the powerful to get powerfuler. They want to secure their own power, but God brings them down. He brings them down. As Asaph said in his wonderful psalm, Asaph looks at the world and he says, I see the powerful, I see the rich, I see the unjust, I see the exploitative, and I see them and I see how they exploit the poor, I see how they twist and pervert justice, and I see them go and live their happy lives, and my feet had almost slipped, and I said, God, what is happening? Why do the wicked prosper? And God taught Asaph that those wicked who seem like they're prospering, they seem like they're prospering now, but they won't prosper forever. They won't prosper for one, because they will face the ultimate judgment, and they will not prosper, secondly, because someday God will come and establish his kingdom, a kingdom of truth and righteousness and justice, where there will be real justice. Not the justice of the powerful, not the social justice of the revolutionary, but real justice. Real justice will be on this earth. And God, on that day, will fill the hungry with good things, and he'll send away the rich empty. And he helped Israel. It's a beautiful word here, helped. It means that God reached out, and he took hold of what we couldn't handle. He grasped, instead of us, he grasped what we needed to do. He helped Israel. His serving boy. Again, we see another reference to childhood. We see the word generation repeated. Generation, generation, generation. And then we see the word boy, this word serving boy. Because Mary's about to have a baby. Of course we keep talking about birth and generation and boys. She's helped her serving boy. Remembering mercy. God remembers mercy. His mercy is upon generation after generation of those who fear him. And he reaches out to help Israel, his serving boy, remembering mercy. When we look at the world, we look at sin, we look at the way that things are operating, we think God is a God of justice, and someday justice is going to come, but God doesn't just bring justice. God remembers mercy. He remembers to show mercy, and that is what he did when he sent Jesus Christ. He sent Christ to us, and Christ was God remembering mercy. He remembers what we are, that we are frail, that we are children of dust, that we are sinners in Adam, that we're lost. And he sent Christ. He sent Christ to save us because he is our Savior. He helped Israel, his serving boy, remembering mercy, just as he spoke to our fathers. Mary helps us remember that what God did is not something that came out of the clear blue. Jesus is the long-expected Jesus. He is the promised suffering servant of Isaiah. He is the one who would crush the head of the serpent spoken of to Adam and Eve. He was spoken of by the fathers, and he was promised to Abraham and his seed forever. When we think about this psalm, when we think about the beautiful words of Mary's song, I think it's worth asking ourselves tonight, does your soul magnify the Lord? Does your soul magnify the Lord? Did you Did you think, my goodness, tonight we get to go to church and we get to magnify the Lord. We get to make his name great. We get to make him big. We get to make him wonderful. Did you think that? When you go about your daily life, does your soul magnify the Lord? Does your soul make the Lord big? Do you make him great? Can you say that? Can you say, my soul magnifies the Lord? My heart rejoices in God, my Savior. Can you say that? Has he done great things for you? Has God done great things for you? Well, I don't know about you, but he has for me. Has he lifted you up from your humiliation? I don't know about you. He has for me. Has he shown you mercy? He's shown me mercy. Mercy I didn't deserve, because you never deserve mercy. He's shown me mercy. Has he defeated your enemy? Yes. He crushed the head of the serpent. He crushed the head of the serpent. He said, I see Satan fall like lightning. The enemy of our souls was defeated. And the last enemy, which is death, will be defeated when we are all raised up with him, which is the promise that he gave us. The promise keeping God has promised that all the enemies are defeated. Satan has been defeated. Sin has been defeated. And someday death is going to be defeated. And we will rise up again with him and we will live an eternal life. Has he filled you with good things? Has he given you good things? Even if you're hungry tonight, even if you're thirsty tonight, even if you're empty, even if you're poor, even if you're lonely, and you say, I'm empty, Luke, I'm empty. Do you have the Holy Spirit? If you do, he's filled you with good things. Has he treated you in such a way that you will forever be called blessed? Will you always be called blessed because of what he has done for you? I will, because eternal life sounds like a pretty blessed thing. The indwelling Holy Spirit sounds like a pretty good thing. Becoming one with God, with one with Christ, just as the Father and Son are one, that sounds like a pretty good thing to me. That sounds like a pretty blessed thing to me. That sounds like me being blessed forever. And that sounds like something that people could look at and say, yes, Luke, you are blessed. You're blessed because you have Christ living in you. You're blessed because you are one with Jesus. You're blessed because you get to spend eternity with him. I think that's pretty blessed. If these things are true to you, if he's done great things for you, if he's lifted you up from your humility, if he's shown you mercy, if he's defeated your enemy, if he's treated you with such a wonderful way that you'll forever be called blessed, if he's filled you with good things, then praise the Lord. If these are true, then rejoice in God your Savior. If this is true, magnify Christ. Magnify him. Make him great in your soul. Make him great with your mouth. Make him great with your feet, with your hands. Make him great with what you do at work. Make him great with your wallet. Make him great with your thoughts. Make him great with everything in you. Magnify the Lord. Make Jesus great. Praise him. Praise him. Praise God and magnify Christ. He has done great things for you. Magnify him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you do great things for us. You died on the cross for us. You became a man for us. You lived a perfect life for us. And you've made the way available to heaven for us. You've lifted us up of humility. You've seen our vile sin and you've lifted us up. You've shown us mercy. You've defeated Satan. You've filled us with your Holy Spirit and you will make us forever blessed. You've given us eternal life. You've given us oneness with the Father. You've given us answers to our prayers and you've given us blessings uncountable, unknowable. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Help us. In all things and at all times and in every way, to magnify you and to make your name great. In Christ's name, amen.
Okay, if you'd like to stand and join us, we're going to sing Away in a Manger, and it should be on your bulletin. If you did not get one, somebody kind of raise your hand and we'll see if we can get you some. Everybody grab one? Okay.
Away in a manger. down his sweet head. The stars in the sky look down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay.
Okay, does everybody have a candle? All right. Now, they're going to come down the middle. You tilt yours to light it. That way they don't have to tilt and drip.
Deanne's got an easy job.
Yeah. And then you can light that person next to you. So does everybody have a candle? Make sure we got them. Okay.
Come up here and sing.
Done. We've lit up this whole church. Okay, everyone, have a wonderful and Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Amen.